And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. Jeremy and Shane are both making faces. My name is Michael Sipes, and you can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
You can find me on Twitter
at DFF underscore Madman, and Shane Manila.
Hey, welcome to the suck.
What?
Movie reference. No one.
At DFF underscore Shane. Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I missed it. What's the movie from?
Jarhead.
Oh.
You never see Jarhead?
It sounds familiar. It's
I don't remember that.
But isn't that like it's an old movie, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Well, I mean, it's relatively old.
I remember now. And you know something, Sipes? When Shane welcomed me to the editing team all those years ago, he typed in when I finally was accepted, he's like, "Welcome to the suck." That's all he said.
No one's ever, that's how you welcome people to editing. It's never like, "Oh, good for you." It's like, "Oh, well, it looks like we got another idiot."
Well, wait, so then, but if you open up this show by saying that, that's kind of like not good for our show, dude.
Well, let's try not to make it suck. Let's do better.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, today, you know, everybody's been going crazy with the Scott Fish Bowl today and the drafts all started. I know, Jeremy, you're in a convention and you've only gone through two rounds. We're already in the sixth round. What are you in, Shane?
I am in the at least I've made my picks through the fourth round. Yeah. So we might be in the fifth. I'm not really sure.
So how you doing? I know we commented a bunch of different things. There were so many weird picks and weird selections that people have been tweeting about all day, including some people. Somebody took Dalvin Cook with the 1.01. I saw that today.
Really?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I'm going apparently very wide receiver heavy. I went Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, then Mike Evans, my first three picks. Honestly, just best players on the board at that point. And then at 4.48, I went ahead and snatched up a quarterback and went with Andrew Luck.
Oh, so that's pretty cool. You know, it's funny about the Mike Evans thing. I tweeted to you out there that in my draft, Odell Beckham dropped all the way down to, 2.9? But Mike Evans went all the way in the fourth round. He went 4.06 in ours.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't going to reach for a running back or a tight end that I really didn't want at that point, to be honest with you. So I just went with, you know, look, I know wide receivers are devalued in this because it's what, half point PPR?
Yeah, it's devalued,
so, yeah. Yeah, I get that, but that's all right. I still got probably one of the best wide receiver cores, I'll guess. I haven't even looked at anyone else's rosters because, you know, there's, I don't know, 37 more rounds to go or so.
Yeah, we in mine it's like the first two rounds is almost all running backs and quarterbacks. Like everybody was grabbing all that stuff. But I had the top of the list at 101 and then I pick again all the way at 212. So I ended up with Gurley at 101 and then I took Cam and McCaffrey at 212 and 301 because just about everything was running backs and quarterbacks. So And then by the time we're at the 412, I ended up with Evan Ingram and Adam Thielen at 501. So that's where we're sitting at right now. I tried to get little pieces in each one of the stuff since I've got that long ass break in between picks.
Yeah, you sound like you did well.
What do you got, Jeremy? You said you only have two picks.
Yeah, we're on pick 212. I picked at 110 and 203. I'm not happy with either pick. I was literally off the side of my desk at this conference drafting, and I just wanted to be quick because by the time I realized I was on the clock and picked up my phone, I was already on the clock for an hour or two each time. So I came away with Leonard Fournette and Travis Kelce. So when I get back on the clock at 310, I'm going to be looking at you know, we're on 212 now. When I get to 310, I'm going to look for a quarterback there or best available player, and then 403 a quarterback. So I got 310 and 403 coming up. But like I said, we're only on 212 right now.
Yeah, we had a couple teams in mind. Like when you got to the second and third rounds, they were taking back-to-back quarterbacks and back-to-back tight ends and stuff like that. And the cool thing that I've found today with this entire draft is there's so much conversation going on. People are talking about their picks and then people are all discussing their picks. So it's actually a really cool thing going on with the way everybody's drafting.
Yeah, I need to catch up on Twitter today. I just logged on for the first time. I see what you're talking about. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Looks like I'll have to catch up on that tonight.
Yeah, Shane had a lot of conversations.
Yeah, just talking, though, but I'm not going to do any bragging because I was bragging on my roster last year, and I think I went 0-86 or something. So,
yeah, wow.
I mean, it's a redraft league, you know, so all it takes is a couple of injuries in a redraft and not, you know, hitting the wire like you should. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're not a good team. And that was me last year.
Quickly.
It was funny when I got to the 212 and the 301, I took a quarterback and then I was looking at the running backs that were left and McCaffrey was there. And then after McCaffrey, there was a huge drop off on points. So I went with McCaffrey, and I'm not a big fan of his anyways. So I tweeted that out, and a lot of people were like, oh, no, that's a great idea. He's good, blah, blah, blah. But then a couple people in my division started tweeting, holy crap, you're right. There is a big drop-off. So in the next, like, six picks, four of them are running backs. It's just like people started grabbing the running backs because I wrote that.
Well, that's stupid on your part, then, for bringing that up.
Not that I would have cared. It was freaking McCoy and McKinnon and Rashad Penny. It is amazing, though, how high the rookies are going. I don't know about your guys' stuff, but I mean, Penny and Geis and Barkley. Yeah, that was the other thing. Barkley went really high. I tweeted that to you. Barkley went 106 in ours, Shane.
Yeah, I think he went you know, my brain doesn't work like it used to, so I got to actually bring it up. Let me see here. RB now. Oh, okay. Barkley went off the board in my league at 109.
So I remember you wrote on Twitter that you actually went with Antonio Brown instead of Barkley at your pick.
I did. I went for the safe, boring Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and in mine, Antonio Brown went 109. So, but I remember I comment to you, I would have done the same thing, and I think that thing got like 20 retweets and likes. Everybody agreed with your pick there. So,
I had just real quick, 9 running backs went off the board in the first round.
Oh, really?
I've yet to draft my first running back.
7.
Oh wow, 8, man.
9. We had 9 in my first round too.
Yeah, and just looking at it, yeah, all the rookies, the better rookies are gone. But you know what? I mean, I kind of expected that because, again, with this running back class, like Penny and Freeman, you got a couple guys right there that are walking into starting gigs. You got Darius Geis, who's also going to be walking into a starting gig, even if it's probably only a 2-down roll until Chris Thompson gets injured. Sony Michael's already off the board, or Michelle, whatever you want to call him.
The funny thing, too, is because those rookies are being taken in my league, so many players are falling. And at 412, the two picks in front of me were Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll get one of those two guys. And they were both picked right in front of me at 410 and 411. But, yeah, you know, people are really happy with those players and those rookies. And I don't know what's going to happen with yours, Jeremy. You should take a look at some of these and you'll see what's going to be going. It'll help you with your picks.
Nah, dude, there's no help. That's, you know, there is not with the Scott Fishbolt, man. You got this many different personalities and this many different, you know, divisions that one division to the next literally has nothing to do with one another. That's why I didn't even bother doing any mocks this year. Like I did a bunch last year and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to roll. And it didn't help me one bit because I got smoked.
It is pretty funny. League. You're right. I mean, we had so many mocks last year, and there was ADP mocks, and there was like discussions in the DFF frat house and everything. And it seems like there was none of that this year, with people talking about it.
I didn't even look at the scoring settings until I was on the clock.
I am glad you said that because I was about to say the same thing. I was so busy. I didn't even get to look at the rules till this morning before I went up.
I purposely did that. Now, you know, as soon as I came up, as soon as I got the email, I said, okay, let me bring the site up. Let me look at the scoring settings and let me look at the starting rosters, you know? And I said, okay, all right, I'm good. I didn't want to overthink it. Last year I did with the tight ends and the points per first downs. You know what I mean? That was the problem. Just way too much.
I don't think you could do more winging of this than I did off the side of my freaking desk at this conference. I'm not happy with my picks and what I did, but I just went for guys that I thought were going to get volume and not do worse than they did last year, kind of consistent. But I mean, seriously, I look at the picks after both of my picks, and I'm like, you know, probably should have taken those guys.
Here's my thing. It's a redraft league. Yeah. If you play Dynasty and you play in Devy Leagues, if you can't wing a redraft league, then you should be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, I got players that are going to put up points in Fournette and Kelsey. I mean, in the scoring format we're in, those are not bad picks, but I think I probably could have made better choices at the same time. But you know what?
Trash Dynasty years, trade alert.
I thought I had Dynasty great picks trade and alert. They were bad.
Trash Dynasty trade offer alert. So
sorry, Jeremy. You were cut off.
So anyway, what I was saying was the last couple years I did really well at drafting, I thought, and then I had injuries and shit didn't work out. And so this year, maybe with these boring guys I selected, it'll happen. I don't know.
All right. So
what were you saying, Shane? Sorry. Did I interrupt you? I'm really
so,
sorry.
So yeah. So we had a few Trash Dynasty trade offers this week, and I had one in one of my leagues, and I want to give a shout out to him. I forget who this is.
Sorry, you're going to give a shout out to him. You don't even know who he is.
Oh, I don't know. If he listens, I forget the team names, but jeez. I'm not going to put his team name on blast, but he knows who he is. And it maybe again, maybe this is one that I feel like is a shitty trade offer, and you guys might think it's pretty good. So he offered me Derrick Henry and Rashad Penny and Corey Coleman Royce Freeman and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, no, I agree with you for a change.
That's a shit trade, right?
That's a shit trade, yes. Yeah,
I agree. I'm not accepting that for Kareem Hunt. And then you want to get Royce Freeman out of me? Get the f*** out of here.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I got this offer today. Like, and I sent an offer earlier, and I don't even remember what it was. But it wasn't a great offer, mind you. But it definitely wasn't this f***ing bad. And, I thought about this offer. Like, it just stuck in my crawl. Like, I moved it out of my inbox so I wouldn't even say it. Like, I moved it to the done part of Gmail, just so I, you know, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. But, nah. And then I opened up our show sheet, and I'm like, oh, Trash Dynasty trade offers. Oh, wait, I got one of those sons of bitches. So that's a fuck you offer. That's a fuck you offer.
Oh, my God.
That's what that is, isn't it?
Yes, I agree with you. It is.
Like, doesn't that feel like someone offers you that? They're basically saying, go fuck yourself, right?
God.
That's the feeling it gave me inside. Like, not the warm and fuzzy.
Well, I don't think it was that bad, but
do you get a lot of trade offers from that guy that way that you would feel insulted like that, or is it the first time?
Honestly, I have such bad memory.
Oh, okay.
That I want, and it probably wasn't even meant as a fucking offer. He probably thought it was a decent opening offer because, you know, Rashad Penny is second or third best running back out of this class. He's definitely top four. Derrick Henry, you know, I was as big of a Derrick Henry truther as there was until they went out and signed Deion Lewis, which just showed you that the Titans don't really believe in him.
Come on, man. You don't believe Deion Lewis is going to change Derrick Henry's value much, do you?
I believe that they went out and gave him a lot of money. I think it was the most guaranteed money in the market this year. It was up there with McKinnon's. One of the two has the highest guarantee. I forget. But either way, it showed me the Titans don't believe in him. So, but either way, so he probably thinks Derrick Henry, Rashad Penny is a good, decent offer. And Corey Coleman, who is, you know, a guy that some people still love. And he's a guy that I love, but not with blinders on.
All right. So what was the other? What was the other? No, I'm saying to bring it up.
We have other Dynasty Trash.
Well, wait.
Hashtag Trash Dynasty trade offers.
We have more?
Yeah, that don't involve me.
Oh, okay. So what's the other one?
Here's an IDP one. So I'm going to close that. Here's one. Gentleman was offered Frank Gore, Spencer Ware, Derek Rivers. Oh, that's IDP as well.
Just keep going.
That's okay. I'll just finish it.
Yeah.
2019 first, 2019 second, 2019 third for DeAndre Hopkins. Now it's IDP. Is Derek Rivers really good?
No.
No.
So again, it's a Trash Dynasty trade offer. Definitely.
And these are coming from our buddy at Big E Fat Bob. Oh, Big E Fat Bob. Okay,
Bob
that
Helfer.
Makes more
yeah,
sense.
Bob Helfer, yeah. He's a good guy.
I think it's Big E Fat Bob, or it could be Big E Fat Bob. I don't know what he prefers. Either way. So he sent us another one. Yeah. Oh, and this one hurts.
Shane Likey, this one.
Son of a bitch. Jay Jai and a 2019 first for Odell Beckham Jr.
No, good God.
Jesus Christ.
Two players. You traded two players, but still only two knees for Odell. Wow. That's a crazy offer.
Jackasses.
So wait, so all right, so we had a couple of them from Big E Fat Bob. So was that the last one you had there?
Yeah, because the other one was IDP, and no one likes IDP or people that play IDP. So there's no reason.
Don't listen.
People don't like people who play IDP.
People, yeah. People love IDP, and people love people that play IDP. Don't listen to.
Oh, it's Bob again.
That's what I'm saying.
Another trade offer. So he's got Tyrod at 16 teams, one quarterback in IDP. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
That's
Tyrod Taylor, Spencer Ware, Arik Armstead, TJ McDonald, and a 2019 first for Odell Beckham. See, I don't know anything about IDP players, but I bet you they're not that good.
No. There's a reason that Big E Fat Bob is sending us those to tell us their dynasty trash trade offers, because they are. They're bad.
They
offers.
Are.
They're really bad.
So just which was the worst offer we heard tonight, do you think?
One of Bob's offers. Sure.
Bob, good job, buddy. Keep sending those to us. We love trash dynasty trade offers. And all my league mates, please keep sending me trash trade offers too, because I love just putting them on the podcast and blowing you up.
Wait, before we do what you're talking about, Shane, we got to talk about our sponsor, gtbets.eu, the official sponsor for the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. Are you looking to get in on some action in today's games? Head on over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs, with updated odds covering all the major sports. GT Bets will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple-to-use registration process. So register now and earn up to $500 in free money. Simply add TradesHQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. So what were you trying to say, Shane, before I interrupted you with our sponsor?
So I wanted to, I was thinking maybe I would sing a song and that would help people figure out what our next segment is.
Oh God, here we go. Go ahead.
But I don't want to sing it. So anyway, so what I wanted to talk about this week, and it's been on my mind, is just crowded houses. You know what I was going to sing?
Oh.
Hey now, don't dream
it's over.
Yeah. Oh, but then no, I also realized how many people would have even got that reference. So forget about it. Forget about it.
Maybe more than got the Welcome to the Suck one, though.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
So we, I think I was talking to people on Twitter about, you know, just, it was probably, I think Jarvis Landry, as usual, sparked this conversation, because he seems to spark a lot of my conversations for a player that I'm not that enamored with. There's a lot of, and actually it was Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill that did it, come to think of it. But there's more than a few situations in the NFL that are a little crowded. And I was just wondering how people were handling them. Just for instance, so let's go ahead and say Cleveland. Cleveland's got Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Corey Coleman, and I'm going to throw Antonio Callaway in there just because I love the kid. All fighting for targets.
And when was the last time we talked about Cleveland having a whole bunch of good players fighting for targets?
Last year.
Yes?
Was it? Probably not. They're wide receivers.
No, I don't think so.
Their wide receivers weren't good last
year. I'm saying this is a good group of people here, you know, and that's a lot of targets to go around.
I'm just glad you're talking about Cleveland, man. That's pretty bold of you talking about my team, Shane. I respect the hell out of you right now.
Cleveland rocks. I just want
yes,
to know
sir,
that.
They do.
So, and I got this ADP from fantasycalculator.com. Because our ADP is apparently on hiatus.
Yes, yeah. They
not really sure what exactly is going on to that.
They shut it down.
I reached out to the guy that was supposed to be handling it going forward, and he didn't respond to me. So that's never a good sign.
Yeah, so, yeah. Anyway. We shut it down a couple months ago, and supposedly they're working on bringing it back.
Taking it over.
Yeah. Whatever.
Podcast. How's it going, buddy? Get that shit going. So I had to go to fantasy fantasyfootballcalculator.com.
Okay, and great.
I frequent their site. I've heard them referenced on a few other pods, so I figured I'd grab their ADP.
Cool.
Dynasty, of course. So one thing that struck me while I was going through this is, can you guess Josh Gordon's ADP? You know what? How about this? Just his wide receiver ADP. What do you think he is?
Top 15 around?
Top 20.
Jeremy, you are over, so
top
you
20
lose.
Guy.
Oh, wait, so is Sipes, but Sipes was closer. No, Sipes is under. That's how math works. So he's a wide receiver 16.
Wow.
Yeah, he's top 20.
And I guessed 15 because in a lot of these drafts that I'm in, he goes pretty freaking high, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely a top-tier guy.
So he's going 34th overall.
Wow.
That's insane to me. I mean, it's incredible. The guy's last good season was how many years ago? He's had more suspended seasons lost to suspension than good actual productive seasons.
Well, yeah, he had two good seasons. One great season that set everybody up. The guy's a physical specimen, a marvel. Hopefully he plays the entire year. But, you know, can we expect him to repeat that season when he was a wide receiver one? I don't expect him to do that. And he's risky anyway. So I think that's about – I would not draft him higher than a top 20 wide receiver.
In my Scott Fish right now, because we're doing it right now, Josh Gordon went 51 overall. He went to the 5.08.
So
he was above Amari Cooper. Above Amari Cooper.
I'll tell you what.
Really?
in redraft, I'll take that risk. Take that risk because it's a one-year hit that, you know what I mean? And honestly, if the guy gets suspended, I cut him and I never have to worry about him again. I'm not doing that in Dynasty.
Yeah,
I'm not wasting the 34th pick overall on him. So Jarvis Landry's wide receiver 20. And again, this is their ADP. Corey Coleman, wide receiver 60. My hell, he has fallen. And Antonio Callaway is outside of the top 70. So just looking at those four wide receivers, is there anyone that interests you at their current ADP?
I like Jarvis Landry
and Antonio Callaway because he's a rookie and that's pretty low. But yeah, Landry for sure.
Well, look,
Again, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry for interrupting? Cool. Yeah, I was going to agree because Antonio Callaway, being a rookie, anything outside of the top 70, I guess you could see value in that because who knows what could happen with him. But out of those players that you said, I would take Jarvis Landry at that wide receiver 20 before I would take Josh Gordon at a wide receiver 16, definitely.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too. Like, I'm not, everyone knows, I think, that's listened to me or spoken to me or has met me, knows I'm not a Jarvis Landry fan. I mean, that's how I introduce myself. I'm like, hey, I don't like Jarvis Landry. And people are like, oh, but he catches a lot of passes. And I'm like, yeah, but he's not efficient. Anyway.
Njoku at 72 overall, I think, is in Dynasty not a bad place to get him, you know, going forward in a Dynasty startup.
Yeah, here's what worries me about him and a couple of the other receivers, really, is the target distribution. So he only saw 3.8 targets a game last year, and that's without Jarvis Landry, and that's without Josh Gordon really being in the mix for most of the year, and obviously without Antonio Callaway, and even without Carlos Hyde, who was a decent wide receiver, he had decent receiving totals, even if he's not particularly good at receiving, but he still had a very good receiving year last year. So that's my concern with Njoku. Like, I love Njoku, but I just don't know where the targets are going to come from for him.
Well, the 40 pass attempts a game maybe will be go to, you know, five different guys. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If their defense was butt, you could see a lot of that. But I don't think their defense is bad, even though they should have drafted Bradley Chubb.
Right? You think so?
You know, it's funny when you speak about the amount of targets for all these people, you know, people are only looking at them individually. But when you put it down on paper the way you did, like we're looking here at the show sheet with all these guys and their targets, you're right. How in the world is any one of these guys going to get enough targets to be valuable to you in your starting lineup? I mean, somebody's going to have to step up and other people are going to lose targets because of that.
Well, let me ask you guys, how many targets does it take for one of these guys to be valuable to you? How many targets per game?
Well, Jarvis Landry has to be at least, because I got down here that he had 10.1 targets per game last year. It was the third most in the league, 10.1 targets per game. He needed every one of those 10.1 really to become that valuable. If he dips to 6 a game, what is he? 6 receptions?
But you're assuming that he's catching the ball 5 yards from the line of scrimmage.
I am.
Cleveland Browns too.
Yes. And
you don't know for sure that that's the case.
No, but I don't.
You still want him to get 8 targets a game probably. Yeah, yeah. 6 or 8 to keep his value. But all those guys, based on Todd Haley offense, could get that sweet spot 6 to 8 targets a game. That's a valuable dynasty player. Well, a valuable fantasy player if you're getting up to, you know, close to 8 targets a game, no?
Well, I mean, well, Josh Gordon, if he's getting 8.6 targets a game and he stays on the field and he's actually –
big time, yeah.
75% of the player that we think he used to be, then yeah, he could survive on that.
Chunk plays, yeah, big play guy, yeah. Sure.
I think.
But if any one of these other players steps up, say Corey Coleman, he only saw 6.3 targets a game last year. Say that moves to 9. Say Njoku moves to 7. You know what I mean? Because he's just such a mismatch nightmare for the defense. What happens to Landry? What happens to Gordon? I don't even know what's going to happen with Duke Johnson. I mean, the guy makes his money basically as a slot receiver or a receiver out of the backfield, and now they brought in Jarvis Landry. So maybe they do have plans to use Landry differently there, because Duke Johnson's a better slot receiver than Jarvis Landry ever would be.
I think that you don't want to overanalyze it. You want to go with the top guys for Cleveland that you think are the top guys in that offense. Who do you think are the top 3 or 4 guys? And those are the ones you want on your team. Now, long-term dynasty value-wise, Njoku, sure. That's where he's going is a value play. This year, I don't know. But Gordon, Landry, Duke Johnson, you still want those guys. They're not going to spread the ball to each of those players that we've talked about, but you want the 3 or 4 best players. And I just named 3 of them. Who's the 4th guy going to be? Hyde? You know, after Gordon, Landry, and Johnson, who's going to be the 4th guy? I have no idea. I doubt it's Corey Coleman. It's more likely to be Njoku. It could be Coleman. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's those 2 guys that you just don't know about, Njoku and Coleman. The other 3, I think they're fine, and I think you got to keep buying them.
Well, I think it's interesting because a lot of people talk about, like you say, a crowded backfield. It's mostly always talking about the running backs by committee, and you don't really look at these wide receiver groups and all that. And I see there was a couple other teams besides Cleveland. We had Kansas City, we had New England, we had Jacksonville. And once you start looking at it the way Shane's wrote it here, with the targets and the individual names, you really realize that there's a lot more to these crowded teams than what people consider. Like with Kansas City, Shane, you have a couple guys there that with not all these guys are going to get the targets.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I threw in Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt just because of the amount of targets and receptions they had last year. So you got Tyreek Hill, who is the wide receiver 11. Off the board, 25 overall. You got Travis Kelce's 31st overall. Sammy Watkins is the wide receiver, 22, 51 and overall. And just looking at those 3, and Kareem Hunt's 10 overall, period. 10th player off the board. And just looking at those players, the only one that seems like a value is Sammy Watkins. Like, you're paying for Tyreek Hill's ceiling right now. There, you know, it's not like it was going into last year where I don't even remember what his ADP was, but I know it was lower than 25.
Yeah, he's
overall.
Not a value. He's not a value play, Tyreek Hill. Hunt, Kelce, those guys are still going to get all the love. You still know that those are the guys that offense is going to run through. Hill, I don't think it changes for him this year, but you're not getting – he's expensive.
Well, what do you think?
All the startup drafts, he's going so high.
Well, how much is Sammy Watkins going to get compared to Hill?
Well, that's the thing. And here's the worst. And this is the worst case scenario to me. And I actually, unfortunately, own Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins in a league. Just
both
one league,
on the same team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just, I mean, one out of too many leagues. We'll just leave it at that. It's if you were counting on your hands, you'd have to go a few times unless you had like 6 arms. So my biggest concern really with, 'cause I like when things are clear cut. That's just how my mind works. Like, I don't like uncertainty. I just not how I'm built. But so the worst thing I can imagine is just it being a week to week proposition with Kansas City, where you can't really buy in on either guy and you can't sell either guy, because from week to week, there, you know, this week it's Hill, next week it's Watkins, this week it's Hill, next week it's Watkins. And I have, and that's my suspicion, is it's going to be that. Now, the one good thing for Kansas City is it's not like Cleveland. It's not at all with the targets. It's these four guys and then nobody. Chris Conley.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is centralized to these four guys. So even if, so it probably won't be a week to week thing, but Tyreek Hill, if he lose, I mean, how many more targets can he lose?
But let me ask you this, because what you just said is actually very interesting. If you believe that that's what's going to happen, and you don't think that anything can work during the season with trying to trade him, then why don't you actively try to move him now?
Oh, I have this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, after I put together this show sheet, I was like, oh shit, I need to start moving some players.
Exactly. That's actually pretty cool about looking at this. So did you do it?
No. Unfortunately, my trades were turned down. I tried to get Corey Davis. There was a couple, you know, I never make one for one moves because those don't make sense to me.
Right.
Typically. But I did try to work out a trade that involved Tyreek Hill and would have netted me Corey Davis. But I was rejected, and that made me sad. But here's the thing. So here's the thing about Tyreek Hill. He's already shown that he doesn't need a lot of targets to be a wide, high-scoring wide receiver.
Yeah, he's a chunk play, a big play guy. Yeah,
I mean, he's had 83 targets his rookie year and then 105 in his sophomore season. So I guess really he could stand to lose probably 15 targets and still be a high wide receiver too for you, but you're not paying that for him.
Well, he's too expensive, I think, for what you're getting. He's not a value any longer. But the thing is, I don't expect anything to change with the top three guys in Kansas City, even with Sammy Watkins. I still don't find Sammy Watkins to be that valuable. Hopefully he proves me wrong. I do own him in a couple spots, I think, now, and I'd love to see that change, but right now I think those top three guys, Hill, Kelce, and Hunt, are going to be the guys that still get the love. They've done it. They keep doing it. They make the plays in that offense, and I think Sammy Watkins will get some, you know, he'll get some love, kind of like Coleman and Njoku. You're not going to know when, but it'll happen here and there. The other guys are going to be the steady fantasy carriers.
Here's the thing about Sammy Watkins. So, first of all, you know, it's all just, it's training camp talk, so who knows what that means. Obviously, it could be bullshit. But they seem to not just be using him as the deep threat to take off the top. They seem to be putting him in the slot. They seem to be moving him around a lot. Also,
Mahomes loves him.
Yeah, I hear. And he's got a shit ton of money tied up in him in the next 2 years. If they were to cut him today, there'd be $52 million dead cap. That's a lot of money. Now, obviously, they wouldn't do that. But even if they tried to cut him after the 2018 season, they're looking at a $22 million dead cap. So they gave him a lot of guaranteed money. And to me, that's not something that you do if you're not going to use the guy. And I forget what podcast always says this, but and I apologize for that. Someone can let me know who it is, and I listen to them all the time. But they talk about how teams will show you what they think with what they do with their wallets and what they do with
the money they spend. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I forget who it is.
I'll give you this, Shane. Sammy Watkins is a value play. Might be the first time ever that I'm saying that, but that's a guy that definitely is a buy based on his ADP, based on the love that he's been getting. I don't know that that's going to stay true long because of all the news we're getting, but based on what's going on now, he's the only one of those four players that's really a buy because he's a value play. And not to say you don't go and get the other guys too if you want them and you like them, but they're expensive.
And remember last week I talked about how I traded Odell Beckham Jr. for Kareem Hunt.
Robert Brad Ziegler didn't let you forget about that.
Well, and here, yeah, whatever. Back to that. That's a paper carrier, like quarter point.
Sure. No, that's a good point, though. Sport.
It wasn't a straight up PPR league with no points per carry. It was a quarter point per carry.
All right. Well, other than Kansas City, the other two teams you had here are really crowded. And we've always said with New England, it's very difficult to pick anybody that has fantasy value because so many people are on that team and they spread it around. So,
I wrote a fun little article about Julian Edelman's suspension, and I touted it. Obviously, Jordan Matthews, because duh. But also Chris Hogan. What I didn't realize is how productive Chris Hogan actually was last year before injury. He was only able to play, I believe, 9 games, something like that. But 67% of the games that he played last year, he was able to put in 11. He scored at least 11 fantasy points, and he had 3 games of at least 17 points. He only played 9 games. Yep. So that's not bad. 17 points. So 33% of the time that he played, he scored at least 17 points.
Well, all the mouths to feed there that you wrote on our sheet here is you've got Sony Michael, you've got Julian Edelman, you've got Chris Hogan, you've got James White, you got Rex Burkhead, you got Jordan Matthews, you got Malcolm Mitchell. You know, one name you left off of
Malcolm
there.
Malcolm Mitchell is a joke.
Yeah,
you can't even walk anymore.
Okay, if you want to talk about jokes, what about Cordarrelle Patterson? You left him off of there.
He's a joke. Anyone that's telling you to buy him, don't listen to that.
No, don't.
I'm sorry. Dude, I felt, not that I ever fell for it, but when he went to the Raiders, if he was going to turn around his career and actually become viable and useful in any way, he would have done it by now.
Okay, so you're saying there's no value in Malcolm Mitchell or Cordarrelle Patterson. So
no, and Malcolm Mitchell is because of injury, not because he's a bad player. It's just I don't think he actually has any cartilage in his knees.
Okay, so then all that leaves is Chris Hogan and Jordan Matthews.
Well,
those are the only two guys I would pay for on that entire passing offense. I like their spots in that offense. And obviously, you know, Hogan's not old yet. If you're in a redraft league, you target that guy because of his productivity. Matthews, Dynasty League, those are the two guys on that offense that I like. Gronk, of course, but outside of him, those two receivers are the guys that I would buy. I wouldn't pay for anybody else. If Edelman plays again, this might be his last season. He's not someone you want to throw money at. I don't care what anybody on Twitter says. Edelman's best days were 2 years ago. Last year was it. I mean, if he has a few more, you know, sunset things before the retirement home, great. But you don't pay for that guy. You hope you have him and you can ride him into the sunset. You don't buy him.
It is funny you said Gronk, because Gronk is actually not on the list of targets you put there.
Well, because Gronk is Gronk. I mean, you know, honestly, you know what you're getting. You're going to have to pay a lot, not as much as you used to now. He used to be, and I probably should have looked him up, and that's apologies to my listeners that I didn't do that. I didn't look up Gronk for some reason.
Because I was going to say, yeah, he's definitely a target, you know.
In the old days, you used to have to pay at least 2 early first to get that guy. Now, you could get him for a first. The only problem with that is I'd like to see him sign a contract or something to know that he's not going to retire. Because, you know, we're not in that circle, so all we hear is the chatter.
Well, I want to ask Mike Sipes something right now. You look at that list that Shane put together for the New England targets, and does anybody on that list speak to you? Do you want to buy any of those guys?
No.
It's scary, man. I mean, I'm not confident in any of that stuff. Are you?
No, not at all. And I've actually said this a lot on the show for a long time that, I mean, it's not just because I live down here in South Florida and Miami or anything. I don't ever like any Patriot offensive player, regardless of any of that. I just don't ever get them, but it's mostly because of this. This is the longest list out of all these teams, and you even left a name off.
It's a mess.
You
illustrated something that's problematic. I mean, who do you pick?
There was kind of a point to some of that it looks like you guys already caught on, and I'm happy I left little breadcrumbs. You know the saying that there's this saying that at some point every player is a value or a buy. I don't think so.
No.
Because some of these guys are legitimate just roster cloggers. Now, I'm talking about Malcolm Mitchell mostly, not any of the Kansas City players, obviously, and not the Cleveland players. But on this New England roster, like, there's just too many guys that I won't know when to start them. Like, I like James White. I think he's a good football player. I think when they target him, he does well. But when's that going to be? I like Rex Burkhead. I think he's another player. When if he gets the touches, he's a good football player. When's it going to be? So to me, the only people that you can buy on this roster are Chris Hogan and Jordan Matthews.
Yeah.
Well, the only difference I would say, and I don't like these guys, and I've said that publicly and everything. However, if you have these bigger rosters, somebody like a Malcolm Mitchell is essentially free, and you stick him on there for right now and see if anything does happen in the first couple of weeks. And if not, then you ditch him. But I mean, when it's so, like you say, outside the top 70, I'm not talking about on a roster that's 20 or 30 players long. I'm talking about 55 man roster. I'm fine with holding on to him, hoping that we'll see if something happens. If not, then I'll ditch him.
Yeah. I don't think I'm holding on to him in a 30 man roster.
No, I didn't say 30. I said 55, but yeah, no, I'm just saying.
You have to be deep, man. I just don't see Tom Brady just doesn't throw outside the hashes to the wide receiver. So you look for all the love underneath, and that's not Malcolm Mitchell.
No, well, the other team we had on here, the last one we were going to talk about. The last team we had on here is Jacksonville.
So Jacksonville's just interesting to me because there's all these goddamn players that are all the same fucking guy. I mean, essentially, I mean, obviously
deep threat.
they have variations. Like, I just realized listening to Dynasty Nerds today, I didn't know that Keelan Cole's already 25 years old. So that doesn't make me a little.
Did I.
Yeah. But he did have two wide receiver 1 weeks between 13 and weeks 13 and 16. So this is the weeks he had weeks 13 through 16, which is most likely the end of the season. Your last game through the championship. If he would have been on your roster, he had two wide receiver week one, two wide receiver 1 weeks, and he had two wide receiver 2 weeks in those 4 weeks. So, if you got Keelan Cole on your roster, you probably have a special place in your heart for him because he could have carried you to a title.
There were some injuries, you know, there, some problems, but he definitely showed out. And if he's on your roster, kudos to you.
But you can't go forward. Because I've tried.
No one's going to buy him. Yeah.
I've tried trading him straight up for guys that I thought, like Isaiah Crowell. I thought, maybe someone will bite on that. Not a chance. So they have Keelan Cole, they have DJ Chark, they have Dede Westbrook. They also have Marquise Lee. And then if you really want to get funky with it, they throw in Austin Seferian Jenkins and like Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, I like the Seferian Jenkins. But, yeah, there's a lot of mouths to feed there. I don't know how that's going to shake out. Lee, Moncrief, you know, the tight end, maybe. Those are the top three, but – yeah, that's not a giant passing offense anyways. That's we run the ball and then we let Blake Bortles scramble for his life and throw a prayer down.
All right, there's one last thing I wanted to say before we move on from this. A lot of people talk about all these just individual players that have all these great target shares and everything like that. Like, say, Giants. You know, people are like, oh, Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. But then when you say all these guys are all top guys, but then the quarterback is like quarterback 30 with Eli Manning. How do you guys relate that or explain that when the targets and the players are so high, but the quarterback's not?
Well, I mean, that's just variations in the scoring. Obviously, the quarterback scoring is different than the wide receivers. Is that not what you're asking? I feel like that's not what you're asking. Now that I've answered it in that way, I feel like that's not what you're asking. No,
I was trying to wrap this up because somebody mentioned that to me the other day about how it's funny how there's these teams where the players are, this guy's going to get 100 targets, this guy's going to get 50 targets, this guy, and then the quarterback's only going to throw like 1,000 yards.
Okay, so for most of these situations, this wasn't the situation going in the last year. So, but for instance, Kansas City, where Alex Smith was, who's a perfectly mediocre, adequate quarterback, he's nothing world on fire. He finished as a quarterback 1. Kareem Hunt finished as a running back 1. Tyreek Hill finished as a wide receiver 1. And Travis Kelce finished as a tight end 1. So when you have those types of weapons and you're an even adequate quarterback, your quarterback's going to eat 2. So I mean, Cleveland, whoever their quarterback is, he should be a quarterback 1. Well, I mean, if you can't be a quarterback one with these weapons, then you shouldn't play football.
So I guess maybe that's how I should have asked the question. So my point was, if you believe that all these guys are going to get all these targets, then maybe their quarterback should be up a little bit higher than what people are buying them for, because there's no way that they're going to get all those targets unless their quarterback is throwing all those targets.
So I don't feel like you used Eli Manning as the example.
Eli is going to be a stud this year. He can't help to be unless he's completely washed.
But he's still like drafted so late. Like I don't even know what is his ADP from that fantasy calculator looking at. I mean,
bring it up. It was low though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's low. So if everybody believes that all of his targets are so high, then wouldn't that relate to him being higher than it is? So he would be like the ultimate value then if...
Yeah, but I mean, one, it's a quarterback, so who gives a shit, right? Well, okay. I got you. But it's dynasty, right?
Right.
So Pat Mahomes, who honestly we've seen play college and one game last year that meant nothing. Obviously, Pat Mahomes is going off the board as a top 10 quarterback. Eli Manning's what, 39, 40, 50? How old is he? He's got like, that ugly face. He looks stupid.
No. Like come when on. He comes up, no.
I get angry because he looks. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm anyway. Not going to let you say so like that. He does, so, he's fine.
No, he's not fine.
No, but you're not. You're not going to talk about.
How does that idiot have two championships? If anyone didn't deserve them, it's that goofball.
I agree,
he's
but
only
I'm
like
not
37.
Listen, I'm not gonna say.
Say that's it. He's 37 years old, and honestly, he's never really been that great of a quarterback.
No, he's not.
Now he's never had this level of weapons.
Okay, so
these
but that's
level of weapons, I should say.
And then ultimately, that's my point. So I'm saying, if you think all those guys are getting all those targets, then he's got to be the one throwing them. So then he has to be a value.
Yeah, I'm buying him. Yeah, if any super flex leagues I'm in, any two QB leagues, he's definitely a guy that I'll be happy with for next year. But that's a problem. At his age, who knows how much longer he can play? And he did look washed last year.
Yeah,
like that is a distinct possibility that he is just completely through.
Yeah, and I still believe that you need to have some of those guys on your roster that are maybe 1 or 2 years left that are going to produce for you, and then you get the younger guys.
No. That's
you're
right.
Not paying for Eli Manning, for sure, yeah.
No, I understand that. Look, I'll take him as a throw-in. I'm not targeting him. I've taken him in super flex league trades where I've traded, you know, down a quarterback, or I've gotten a younger quarterback, and I've gotten him as the bridge piece with the hopes that he'll be decent this year.
Cool.
I'm just, you know, yeah. Obviously, the only thing with Cleveland is, you know, how many games is Tyrod going to start? Obviously, Baker Mayfield, you want to buy that freaking guy.
All right. And that was kind of the point of what I was asking about the quarterbacks, you know, especially with all these crowded teams.
You made
and
a good
model
point.
Teams. Thank you.
don't let people put you down, specifically me. Don't put up that shit.
Well, yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, I get a lot of support on Twitter. So, so before we wrap up, I know we do got...
We do got it.
So before we wrap up, I know we still have a couple other things to mention, like the Scouting Academy.
Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum. This is a time-tested curriculum. And I'm skipping that. A chance to learn from NFL execs and coaches with over 350 years of NFL experience and 15 Lombardi trophies between them. All here to teach you. Scout NFL football like a pro and join the Academy, the Scouting Academy. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. I think they're signing up for fall at this point, so go onto our site, hit the Scouting Academy logo, and save yourself $50.
Cool. Yeah, and I know we also have the FFPC to plug, and one thing that DFF actually announced today on their Twitter account was telling everybody to come out to Vegas for the live FFPC on September 6th and September 8th. Unfortunately, I was supposed to go, but I'm not going to be able to. But they were promoting Come Meet Shane and LJ and some of the
no
other...
No one wants to meet me.
Oh, believe me. Dude, there's a lot of people that want to meet you, you know?
Punch me in the face.
So go to Vegas, guys. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're out in Vegas when I'm out there, dude, hit me up and we will party like a 40-year-old man.
Oh, my God. I'm so upset that I can't go. But we also have a plug for the FFPC, right, Jeremy?
The fastest growing dynasty football website has joined forces with the biggest high stakes fantasy football platform on the planet, the FFPC. DFF is proud to offer these exciting and new dynasty high stakes leagues in an exclusive partnership with the FFPC. Leagues start at just $77, but the sky's the limit. Take your game to the next level. Think you have what it takes? Then raise the stakes. Go to dynastyfootballfactory.com and click on this logo, the FFPC logo, and sign up today.
Yeah, and like Shane said, if you guys are out in Vegas that opening weekend of football, try to hit everybody up and try to see them. I know. Oh wait, Jeremy, you're not going either, right? Anymore? I know we were both.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to quit.
Okay, so it'll be just Shane you'll get to meet. So, and that's who everybody wants to meet anyway. So, thanks for listening, and you know, go ahead and check us out on our website at thedynastyfootballfactory.com. You'll find all the webs, all the articles, podcasts, rankings, all that stuff on our website, and check out our Twitter handle at Dynasty Trades HQ. And you can send us any questions, trade questions, polls, anything like that. And what's our email address, Jeremy?
Dynasty Trades HQ Pod at Gmail. DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com.
And you can find us everywhere that podcasts are on, and give us a rate and review over on iTunes. And that's it. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Take care, everybody. Trade on.